Welcome, welcome, welcome to I Have the Answers podcast. This is kind of your mini season in between the season, after the season, you know what I'm saying? This is actually my first podcast recording with a son. Shout out to my son. I had a son in between the last time we talked, man. And just to talk about him for a little second, dog is fun. Having a son is fun. Now, I do understand my situation is a little bit different than other situations as far as like support, grandparents and friends and things of that nature, even cousins who helped out. Shout out to everybody in the baby shower. I haven't needed to buy anything yet for the kid. Anything we got, it was just extra on top of what y'all got. So, it's because of that. It's made this experience solely about bonding with my son. I haven't had the stress of, oh, I need to go buy Pampers, or I need money to do this, and I need wipes. I haven't had that stress yet. I'm not saying it won't come. Obviously, you know, football dudes, track dudes, and all of that is coming up. But shout out to my support, my family, my parents, my grandparents, everybody who just allowed me to be able to just focus on bonding with my son. So these last 3 months, that's literally all we have done. Woke up, looked at each other for 12 hours, go back to sleep, do the same thing over for about 3 months. It sounds boring, but being with him is just so fun. I cannot stress that enough, guys. But enough about him, man. Welcome to I Have the Answers podcast, mini season within the season. We got a lot of range of topics coming at you, okay? It's a lot going on in the football world. I don't know if anybody's been paying attention, but there's been a coaching carousel like no other. And let's start talking about the Falcons, okay? Even though I said I would stay away from the Falcons specifically because they've made some moves that kind of made me a little upset, honestly. But you know, that's the G. You know what I'm saying? That's the thing. So Raheem Morris, man. Raheem Morris. That is our head coach. He's a black head coach. Been a coach around the league. You know, I was not happy about the hire per se. And I'm going to tell you why. Two reasons why. I felt like there were two better coaches mentally that were out there. And Bill Belichick and Mike Vrabel. Well, those two, I feel like, are better than Raheem as far as their football knowledge and how they attack the game, just all in all. I didn't like that Raheem was on our staff, and for whatever reason, we didn't fall in love with him and let him leave the building. Now, that is a terrible point, only because if we review the history of Falcons coaches that have been in the building, I think you would see that there is a long list of winning coaches that have been there and coached up Matt Ryan. And Matt Ryan helped a lot of people get jobs. You got Mike McDaniels in Miami. You got Matt LaFleur in Packers. You got Kyle Shanahan who's going to be in the Super Bowl for the second time since he's left Matt. You got Jeff Obrich. And Raheem Morris was on that staff. That's a lot of names that are, you know, why didn't they stay? So I do understand there's that side of it that, okay, there were guys in the building that we should have kept. But at the same time, Raheem was one only guy that had an interim head coach. And at that time, he wasn't ready, so he leaves. So to me, it was just kind of uneventful. You know, it was like, we got excited for a new head coach. And it's like, you know, we just go back to our ex. Like that's how you do it. But he's black. I love that this is our first black head coach, black GM. Hopefully we get a black quarterback, and that's what all the Falcons fans wanted. They think that's the winning recipe, which I'm not gonna say it's not. I'm not gonna say that he can't win. Raheem Morris definitely can come in and take us to the playoffs. I do feel as though he could take us to the playoffs. Can he take us over the hump and go to the Super Bowl is the real question. And that's just, that remained to be seen. I do think, I don't think I've ever got on this podcast and really sang Arthur Smith's praises. But as I've gone on, and it's funny how I learn myself. I usually don't take strong stances until I get to start talking about it. Like, until somebody asks me a question and they might say a comment, and then I realize, like, oh no, I actually feel passionate about how this guy is. That's kind of how Arthur Smith was. I got on Twitter and I see a lot of people talking this, that, and third about Arthur Smith. Arthur Smith, I think, was a premature fire. He didn't have the quarterback that he needed, and the offense did move. It was a top-ranked offense. It was like ranked 17 without a quarterback. And I think if you add a quarterback to that offense, this team wins. So I wasn't too excited about the firing of Arthur Smith, I'm gonna be honest. And I'll get into that later. He found a new job with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think that marriage will work perfectly with their identity and how they like to play football and how Art likes to win football games. So that's perfect for him that he landed. But I think it was premature. We were 3 years into our 5 year rebuild plan. And fans got a little bit impatient, and I don't know why, because you had Marcus Mariota and Desmond Ridder as your quarterbacks. I don't think you should have expected to do too much with those two guys, and especially shouldn't have fired your coach based off of those two guys' performances. That's just me. So then you move on, boom, you get Marine Morris as a defensive-minded head coach. When people talk about him, they're more so talk about how he's energetic, how he's a people person, how he affects everybody around him. And I think that kind of at the very basis is what turned me off about this hire was I don't hear things like he's a great defensive mind. Look what he did with this player. Look how the defense did this. Yes, he won a Super Bowl being a DC, but he had Jalen Ramsey and Aaron Donald. That's, you know, that's two cream of the crop players of all time. Not saying it was easy, but, you know, when you got guys like Mike Vrabel who coach a defense up and get the most out of them, they had them in the AFC Championship, and that roster was not that good. You talk about Bill Belichick, who's had a consistent top five defense in the last three, ever since Tom Brady left. He's had a top defense, a top defensive-minded coach, top special teams-minded coach. That in lies the problem with Atlanta. I think Atlanta is trying to chase a culture. They're trying to chase how do we sell tickets and make fans happy instead of how do we win games. I saw a lot of people saying we don't want Bill Belichick. That is a loser mentality. Okay, I just want anybody who ever was against Bill Belichick to realize that you're siding with losers. Okay. Bill Belichick is a winner, the most winningest coach in Super Bowl history. Been to 10 Super Bowls, won 6. That's rare that you have that much knowledge and a chance to go get a guy like that. So to me, that's where that's where I felt like we should have went, but we didn't, you know. So I'm glad we didn't go with the new OC young hire type thing going on. You see the Ben Johnsons and all of that. I feel like if you went that route, that it wouldn't have made sense to go get rid of Arthur Smith, because Arthur Smith had a top offense, actually higher ranked than all of the offensive coordinators that were interviewing for the job this year. His offense as an offensive coordinator, Arthur Smith's offense was ranked higher. So I'm glad that they didn't do that. You know what I mean? So that's the saving grace, guys. That's enough about football. We'll dive a little bit more in depth. I know his press conference is coming up, so we're going to listen to the press conference, come back with another podcast talking about his press conference. We got the Senior Bowl coming up, some draft picks, some draft boards and things of that nature. You know, this is I always say this every offseason, this is the most exciting time as a football fan, because you get to speculate and see what the team does and make moves, and it gets you a little bit excited, you know. But that's enough about football. We're gonna switch focus, and very rarely on this podcast, even though this podcast is supposed to be a versatile in its topics, very rarely do we switch over to more so like the news lane. So I'm sitting at home, I'm watching TV, I'm watching the news, and a story comes across the board, and the story is basically about kids who, well, the school system in Decatur had a grant or had money allocated for feeding kids. The grant money ran out, and they allow students to kind of run up a tab. Okay, I'm an IOU. In that tab, in that time frame, they ran it up $88,000 in debt. And this is not in debt as far as like the music, the school construction. This is in debt with just food. They were $88,000 in debt with just food, which shouldn't be a lot of money when you're talking about a school system. But as far as Decatur, it is. So their solution was to give free the kids who qualify for free lunch cheese sandwiches. They gave them cheese sandwiches. So naturally, as I'm watching the story, there was at the end of the story, they showed that there was a lady opposing of the cheese sandwiches. And my first thought was, what's wrong with the cheese sandwiches? It's free lunch. What do they think they're going to get with free lunch? And then I closed the story and I saw it run live. I saw the story run live. And then I turned it off. I didn't think nothing of it. I remember making a comment to my mom or dad, like, what's wrong with the free lunch or whatever. And then later, a couple of hours later, I get on Instagram and I see people posting about it, and not just one person. So if you're listening to this podcast and you posted it, I'm not talking specifically about you. I saw almost a lot of people, even young people who usually in my age group who don't speak on certain topics. They even, what's wrong with giving, or what's wrong with this school system? They're giving the kids free sandwiches. And I'm like, guys, I'm still trying to find the problem with the cheese sandwiches. And I think a lot of people are thinking about the kids, and I understand that. I don't think there was an adult in that building that said, forget these kids, let's give them cheese sandwiches. That's not where the spirit of that solution came from. I think even if you look before the grant money ended, they tried to feed the kids normal lunches, and they went in debt. So when you talk about the solution from the fiscal side of it, the fiscal responsibility of, hey, kids, it costs to feed kids. What can we do the most cost effective way? I think that's why they came up with the cheese sandwiches. Now, granted, they could have grilled it. Could have been grilled cheese, honestly. I didn't know that when I first saw the story. I think it is just cheese and bread. It's just kind of nasty. That's nasty. I understand. I do understand that. But I do understand now in today's world, a lot of us, when I get on Twitter and I get on Instagram and I see people's thoughts, a lot of people have this ideological way of solving problems, and it's like, hey, homeless people shouldn't be this, and sick people shouldn't pay for medicine, and teachers need this, and this is how the world should be, this is how it should be, this is how it should be. And I think those people are not that close to reality in their head. And when I say that, I'm not saying you're crazy. I'm just saying there's a way the world works. And I think it doesn't benefit us from calling out the way it shouldn't be like that. It shouldn't be like that. It's like being at work. And I just learned from being a worker and then going up to management. There's things like, okay, hey, we need new equipment. You ask your manager, and then you know, 2 weeks later, and you're like, man, my manager didn't get this, then the third. Well, he has to answer to somebody. He has to go to somebody. He has to pay for it. Somebody has to pay for it. There's all these thinking processes that go into fixing and improving everything around you. You know what I mean? And I think that's the same way when it comes to politics, when it comes to school systems. There's a way you want the world to be, and then there's just the way the world works. And I think you're going to spend your whole life trying to change how the world works and not get too much done. If you work within how the world works, you know, and see how it works, then it mostly, that's how change comes when you sit down with the other side. So I say that to say, I would love to give kids 10-piece wings, fries, free pizza. I would love to feed all the kids with the best lunch, steak, shrimp, well, you name it. I would love that. Me spiritually, me in my heart, I would love for kids to eat like that. But I understand that there's a dollar symbol attached to every kid when he walks into the building. Even when you pay taxes, even as the homeowners, people as homeowners, y'all pay the taxes that go to the schools. And on my podcast, you can go back and look at the podcast. I think I talk about taxes and me, if I run for mayor or if I get into politics, things of that I would want to happen. And I've always said, because of how the world works, you have to pay to play. You have to raise your taxes. If you want the sidewalks, you want the nice things in your neighborhood, you want the nice schools, you have to pay. You have to pay. I don't live in Decatur, but if this was Westlake, I definitely would go around trying to raise money and things of that nature. That is how you attack that problem. Throw money at it. Somebody who, if you're that mad about it, give $1,000, call, donate, get your friends, 10 friends. That's 10. Well, that's a lot of money, $1,000 donating. Okay. So, you know, get, find as many people as you can, reach out to the celebrities and let's pay for this. Cause that's the only way that's going to change. I don't think causing an uproar is going to make them feel bad and say, you know what, we're going to start feeding the kids again. And I could be wrong. They could be discussing this right now. And then by the time I put out this podcast, they could change it. And it would have changed with the way y'all think, you know what I'm saying? But I don't see a problem. I don't see a solution that is not fiscally, you know what I'm saying? That is not money tied, you know what I'm saying? You're going to have to throw money at this problem. You're going to have to pay off the debt and then donate a certain amount of money for them to pay kids for free. Find out that number. I think every year when you would be on a college campus, you kids get money or schools get money. Every year HBCU gets money. Shout out to Spelman. They just got $100 million. That's life changing money. But like I remember Tuskegee when Nandi was there, they got $1 million grant from Home Depot to fix something up. And the Tuskegee people were mad because I think all they did was fix up the lawn and then pay some bills. I think people need to understand how much money it takes to run something. To run a school, to run a school system, to just focus on the buses. Just think about how much money it takes to keep the buses up to tune, to keep the lights on. It takes a lot of money into that. So when people do see certain amount of money getting donated, they're like, well, that should work. No, donate money, see where it goes, and see how much it takes to get these things done so that we're not tripping when we see certain things. We're kind of understanding like, okay, $88,000 in debt on food is a little ridiculous when their main thing should be trying to teach the kids. I don't know how they failed that in the first place. I don't know how they got to that much debt in food in the first place. Like I said, you're just going to have to throw money at it, you know? We're gonna let this story unfold. Hopefully they run a second story. If you have any feedback to anything I've said, you know, reach out, talk to me. This is just the first podcast back, the mini season within the season. So that's what we're gonna call it. We're gonna call this the mini season in the season, you know? So like I said, short, sweet, to the point. And when we come back, we're gonna expand on those topics. Oh, before I forget, one more topic, man. One more topic, because this one is kind of near and dear to my heart. Two more topics. One, real quick, Cam Newton, one of the greatest quarterbacks you ever see play. I wasn't too much of a fan of him because he was at Carolina, and I just hate everybody in my division. But when he was at Auburn, when he was at Westlake, I remember my dad going to go see him. I have a podcast on Cam. I love watching Cam play football. Cam was an outstanding quarterback. He speaks on quarterbacks. He said there's some game changers, and then there's some game managers. And I'm not going to get into who he said was what, because you should know when you watch the NFL. But the response that Cam is getting because he's speaking out is crazy to me. I'm looking all over the league and looking all over the social media, and you got people in the media saying Cam's washed up. What does Cam know? Brock Purdy better than Cam. Cam Newton's a former MVP. If there's anybody who can speak on quarterback play in the league, it's Cam Newton. You know what I'm saying? It's not the commentators who haven't played quarterback. And I just thought that was the weirdest response. And I'll go further in depth with that a little later on another podcast. But I think that was weird. But the topic that I really want to talk about near and dear, you talk about game changers. Man, Baltimore Ravens, Lamar Jackson. Lamar, he played an okay game. He played a good game. He played well enough to win, I feel like. He played okay to win. The only thing that was not winning at that time was his mentality. His mentality. I think Lamar, what we saw him fail as a player. We saw him fail as a leader, not a player. I think he played okay. The game was within reach for at least most of his drives in the fourth quarter. When I look at his play, he did throw an interception. That was in triple coverage, but he scanned to the left, went to the right, and all he sees is Isaiah Likely throw that hand up. And as a receiver, you know, you don't throw that hand up unless you're streaking open. So Lamar threw it, and then out of nowhere, safety comes over. Like, three people come out of nowhere after that ball was in the air. So it looked like he threw it in triple coverage, which he did. But so I'm like, okay, yeah, he threw that. Picks happen. You're not going to really, unless you throw like three picks, four picks, and the game is like 21-point difference, then I'll point to the picks. But if you throw three picks and it's a 3-point difference in the game, those picks really don't matter. They're negated by the other plays that you made. And that's where I feel like Lamar failed, where Zay Flowers had the fumble at the top of the fourth or late in the third. And that would have changed the game. The game would have been 14-17 at that moment. And you would have went in the fourth down by three. And you had like four or five possessions to try to win the game. But Zay Flowers fumbles. And Zay Flowers goes to the sideline, throws his helmet down, cuts his finger. He's bleeding. He's yelling. He's mad. Lamar's on the other end of the bench away from the team, kind of pouting. I wasn't on the field. I was not on the sidelines. I have snapshots of the certain conversations that the NFL allowed them to show, but I don't know necessarily the ins and outs. But optically, Lamar, to me, you failed as a leader, where you had the fumble, you threw the pick, and you're on the sidelines instead of kind of encouraging your team, like, okay, come on, guys, we still can win this game. We still got to do this. You were kind of pouting and crying, and I could already see it on your face. You kind of sitting there thinking, like, oh, the media, they're going to slam me. Everybody's going to say, I lost this game. I can't win. I can't do this and that and the third. I saw that on your face. And Lamar, I just want to say, man, like, dog, just fix your attitude, man. Like, and I don't even want to say attitude, because it's not like you had an attitude or you was a cancer. I know that feeling. You just want to win. You want to win so bad, man. I saw how you played. I know you wanted to control the game, dog. I know you wanted to win the game. You wanted to win the game in the second quarter. You wanted to be a blowout. I understand that. I'm not questioning your heart, Lamar. I'm not questioning your athletic ability. I'm not questioning you throwing the ball. That's not, none of that. I'm questioning the leadership, and what I saw and how I know teams win games is they play every play like they're about to win. And I think when you threw the helmet down and kind of you did the arm motions as if you was talking to yourself, you was cussing out either yourself or a player. And I felt like from that moment on, you played like that. You kind of played like, man, it ain't gonna matter. It ain't. And then the last drive where you score, you realize, like, oh shit, I got enough time to score, give them the ball back, get a three and out, and score again and still win this game. And you went and scored. If you would have played like that after the interception, after the fumble, you would have won that game, Lamar. You would have won. So athletic ability, cool, man. Quarterback, arm throwing, cool. You was great, one of the greatest. But to get to that next step, I think you're going to need to fix your leadership. And that's what I think the difference between Tom Brady and everybody else. Tom Brady has a cool arm. It's cool. He's the most regular athlete you've ever seen. His attention to detail is amazing. And his mentality, Tom is crazy, because Tom actually thinks he can win every play. He thinks, oh, when he steps on the field, this play is going to help me win. And Tom does a great job of keeping everybody on the sidelines on to the same goal. You see Tom. Go look at NFL videos and mic'd up videos of Tom Brady. Tom Brady's on the sidelines talking to his teammates. Hey, I need you. I can't win this game by myself. I need you to make a play. Come make a play for me. Come on, guys. We're going to do this. Come on, guys. Come on. I need you. Lamar kind of was on the side pouting by himself. And I just felt like he should have went to his team, to the defense, called everybody up and said, hey, we're going to win this game. I'm telling you right now, we're going to win this game. Y'all go out there and fight. I'm going to give y'all a touchdown and a field goal, and we're going to win this game. Zay Flowers is a rookie. Hey, calm down, baby. Don't throw your helmet. Lamar shouldn't have threw his helmet at the time he threw it. All right? And Zay's a rookie, so just like Odell Beckham went through that stuff as a young man, you know, passionate. Okay, Zay, cool, but my quarterback can't lose it. My quarterback's got to be the consistent factor. So that's all I got for today, man. Give me my feedback. You know, I love when y'all listen to my podcast. We're gonna post this. And if you want any topics talked about outside of football, hit me and talk to me. If you hear about my cheese comments and you don't like them, talk to me. Tell me how you feel, all right? I appreciate y'all.